This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. If you have diabetes, you shouldn't take your vision lightly. Diabetes can cause damage to the eyes if you don't control your blood glucose levels well. In fact, one of the major diabetic eye diseases, called diabetic retinopathy, is a leading cause of blindness in Malaysia. But is loss of vision inevitable if you have diabetes? Considering we have so many people in Malaysia living with diabetes, this is an important question to consider. And joining me on the show today is Dr. V. Gayatri Devi, ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, as well as a medical retina subspecialist, to shine a light on preventing diabetic eye diseases and managing the progression of vision loss if you have been diagnosed with it. Dr. Gayatri, thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Perhaps we can start with an overview, Dr. Gayatri, of the eye complications that could result from diabetes. Can you walk us through briefly what are some of these that people should be aware of?
Well, I think, of course, diabetic retinopathy is the leading complication of diabetes mellitus. And that is a very important problem that we need to address. But apart from that, we also have diabetic maculopathy, which is an offshoot of the retinopathy, where you can have swelling in the center of the nerve that often reduces your vision and your ability to read or recognize objects. And of course, there is an association with glaucoma, where your eye pressure can actually go up as a consequence of being diabetic. Cataracts is another complication that we need to think about. And some other lesser ones would be ocular motility problems, where you may have double vision due to nerve palsies secondary to diabetes. And you can also have what we would like to put in as a stroke in the eye as a result of having underlying diabetes compounded with hypertension and hypercholesterolemia. And you can actually get a retinal vein occlusion or an artery occlusion that can actually cause sudden loss of vision that can be quite devastating. And of course, not to forget, you know, diabetes often results in poor wound healing. So if you will be more prone for infections, you know, like a lot of us get little styes and bumps in our eyelids, but diabetics may actually get it in a much more serious way. And it can form abscesses, which may need attention. Or if you have an abrasion in the eye, you know, in the cornea due to some trauma or anything like that, it could very quickly progress into being an ulcer, which can be quite difficult to treat. So these are probably some of the things we need to think about if you have diabetes.
You mentioned diabetic retinopathy being the leading complication. I'm just guessing from the name, it hints that it affects the retina. But could you explain how exactly that disease develops?
Okay, so basically, in diabetes, it is the excessive sugar in the blood that tends to damage our blood vessels. And the eye being supplied as an end organ, meaning that there is no potential for collaterals to form if any damage occurs to the blood vessels there, it makes it more susceptible to trauma, I mean, to inflammation. And what happens is, the inner lining of the retinal blood vessels are often damaged, and they have this inability to carry oxygen as a result of that. And because of this, the eye responds by trying to form new blood vessels, which are actually quite fragile, and they tend to break and bleed. And this is often the progression of diabetic retinopathy. And when these blood vessels break and bleed, they cause a vitreous hemorrhage, you know, that suddenly occludes your vision and you're unable to see. So you need to get treatment to get that removed. And as it progresses, it causes formation of fibrovascular tissues because these blood vessels that are fragile, they grow abnormally, they pull on the retina, they cause a lot of traction, and you can get tractional retinal detachment, dragging of the retina, distortion, and that's how your vision becomes worse and worse as it progresses. And the worst thing is at the end stage, if you do not treat it, even when it has reached the stage, you could end up with a painful blind eye in what we call as rubeotic glaucoma, whereby the blood vessels that have grown on the retina are not just limited to the retina, but they progress to grow into the angles of the eye and zip up these angles, and the fluid can't flow, so the pressure builds up and you get rubeotic glaucoma. Mm. Then they also grow onto the iris, you know, the tissue that forms part of the pupil, the pigmented part of our eyes, which gives us our color.
Mm.
Yeah, so you have blood vessels growing there, which are also fragile. They tend to break, they bleed, and they cause hyphema or blood accumulation. So, and often at this stage, it is almost impossible to retrieve vision, but the word keyword being almost impossible, we still try. You know, you can still try and reverse some of the damage and try to get back as much vision as you possibly could.
Mm. So it does sound like when the blood glucose is not controlled, it can really affect so many different parts of the eye, right?
Yes, of course. Mm. So retina being the most vulnerable. And in another way, I was talking about diabetic maculopathy, which can be associated also. And in this, what happens is the blood vessels become leaky. They are unable to maintain the tight junctions, and fluid exudes into the center of the nerve, which we call the macula, which is very important for near vision, for recognizing faces, you know, for fine-tuning our vision. And you get a lot of cholesterol deposits, lipid deposits, and this can further worsen your vision and cause scarring. So it's a two-pronged attack, actually, you know, the new vessels and the swelling in the center of the nerve.
Mm. And things like cataracts, that's the lens that becomes affected.
Yes, that's because of the prolonged uncontrolled sugar. Your cataracts tend to come on much faster and much earlier. And, you know, most people will probably need cataract surgery in their 60s or 70s. But sometimes we find diabetics who need it when they are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, because it develops a lot faster.
When you say that already something like retinopathy is a leading complication of diabetes, eye complication of diabetes, you know, if we look at sort of the burden and scale of diabetic eye diseases, what are some statistics and trends that you'd like to point out? Are there increases considering diabetes is on the rise as well?
Well, in Malaysia, diabetic eye disease is the commonest cause of visual loss among adults of the working age. So the key word being working age. So you can imagine how much it will damage our economy and, you know, the working young population. And basically, the prevalence of diabetic retinopathy worldwide ranges between 6.8 to 44.4% in patients with diabetes. To give it some context, in Malaysia, the prevalence of diabetic retinopathy is from the 2007 Diabetic Eye Registry was 36.8, and it is only climbing now. So even in the Malaysian National Eye Database in 2007-2008, it reported that the proportion of patients with sight-threatening diabetic retinopathy was 15.6% and 11.5% respectively. So at diagnosis, less than 5% of them will have retinopathy, while the prevalence rises to 40 to 50% after 10 years of having diabetes. So definitely we are seeing a rising trend here, you know, in this becoming a serious problem.
Is it inevitable that if you're diagnosed with diabetes, you will develop this?
Okay. Like I said, at diagnosis, less than 5% will have retinopathy, while prevalence rises to about 40 to 50%. So there's a 50% chance you will be having some sort of retinopathy after 10 years. After 20 years, almost all patients with type 1 diabetes and more than 60% of patients with type 2 diabetes will have some degree of retinopathy. How serious it is will depend on a lot of factors, of course.
Such as?
We are going to look at the risk factors now as to, you know, why you would develop this diabetic retinopathy. Duration of diabetes, that is a very significant association with the development and severity of diabetic retinopathy, as I pointed out earlier. So the longer you have diabetes, the more the chances are you are going to develop something. Mm-hmm. But the better you control your sugar, the lesser are the chances of you progressing into, you know, the more severe forms which may require treatment, right? And if you have concomitant or uncontrolled hypertension, then it adds on to this. of course, hypercholesterolemia. You know, I often call these three the three brothers who exist together. And if even one of it is not controlled and the other two are, it still causes damage to the eye. If you have persistently high HbA1c, which is your level of glucose in the blood, then definitely you're going to develop it faster. Obesity, especially increased body mass index, high waist to hip ratio, abdominal obesity tends to be a risk factor too. And that's why we keep telling our diabetic patients to, you know, exercise, lose weight, because this tends to compound the problems. If you have concomitant renal disease or nephropathy, because, you know, diabetes is a multi-system disorder, so it can affect your kidneys, it can affect your heart, and all the other blood vessels in your periphery as well. So if you have renal disease, then it tends to hasten the development of diabetic retinopathy. Of course, genetic factors play a role. If your parents are diabetic, your grandparents are diabetic, then the chances are that you could possibly, you know, develop it. And affluence with poor eating habits, unfortunately, in our world where we are all the time ordering Grab and, you know, getting fast foods, high sugar content drinks, all these tends to add on to this, you know. Pregnancy is an important thing which we have to consider, because when you do become pregnant, and if you become diabetic, or you are diabetic and you become pregnant, then the chances of retinopathy accelerating are very high.
Oh.
Okay. And smoking is another factor, of course, just tend to compound the problem. Okay. So what are the risk factors for sight-threatening diabetic retinopathy? Usually it's chronic kidney disease. And if the patients have previous strokes or ischemic heart disease, the duration of diabetes is very long, then they are certainly at very high risk of developing sight-threatening diabetic retinopathy.
All right. We'll go for a quick break and continue this discussion when we come back. I'm speaking to Dr. V. Gayatri Devi, ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, as well as medical retina subspecialist, about diabetic eye diseases. When we come back, we want to find out what you can do to identify it as early as possible. What can be done to help manage these conditions? We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. My guest joining me today via Zoom is Dr. V. Gayatri Devi, ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, as well as a medical retina subspecialist. We are talking about diabetic eye diseases today, their alarming prevalence and increase in the light of the increasing prevalence of diabetes as well, along with other coexisting diseases that tend to compound the problems when you have diabetes, including hypertension, kidney disease, cardiovascular disease, habits like smoking, poor diet, obesity. All of these can increase the risk of developing diabetic eye diseases and progressing the disease to cause vision loss. Dr. Gayatri, perhaps we can help people take note of what they should look out for. If they do have diabetes, how can they be more aware of changes in their vision? What are some signs that people should look out for?
Okay, before I go into the science, I would like to make one statement which should be a take-home message here. Diabetic retinopathy is often asymptomatic, meaning in the early stages, you won't even see any changes in your vision. And even as it progresses and you've reached the late stage where there is proliferation of blood vessels in your eye, you could still have very good vision until they break and bleed. You know, unless those new vessels tend to be in the center of the eye, in which case you will notice it much earlier. So the one important take-home message that I would like to tell all diabetics is, please don't wait for vision changes. Because often, by the time you have any changes in your vision, it may be quite late in the disease. Okay? Having said that, the other important factor that I would like to stress on is when we see things with both our eyes open, we do not realize if one eye vision gets very bad. Because unless you accidentally occlude one eye and check, you won't realize that the other eye is very bad. So we often get patients who come in with very poor vision in one eye, but they're still seeing very well in the other eye, and therefore miss the fact that the vision has been dropping in one of their eyes. So that's a very important thing to remember. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't realize it. Mm-hmm. So these two, and the other thing is, most people think that when their vision begins to get a bit blurry, or they think it's part and parcel of aging, it could be cataract, let's wait, you know, I don't need to rush to see the doctor yet. So being a diabetic, I would advise you definitely to get checked and screened as soon as you're diagnosed, because you do not know how long you've had diabetes, and retinopathy could be progressing in your eye without even you realizing it. Mm. Okay. Now, other vision things you could have is, like I said, you know, you may begin to notice your vision is getting blurry. And if you have cataracts, you may find glare. You can't drive very well at night. And these are some changes you need to look out for. If you start having floaters, most of us get floaters when we are middle-aged. That's a normal part and parcel of aging. But you will get one or two or maybe a couple. But if you suddenly get a shower of floaters and you suddenly find your vision is being obscured, now that's a sign that something more serious is going on in your eye. One of those blood vessels could have leaked and you're probably having some vitreous hemorrhage, and that is one of those signs that you could look out for. But like I said, by then it is pretty late. Mm. So the idea is to get checked before you start having all these symptoms.
All right. Would you say that is a very common misconception that people have, that is to only pay attention when there are, and you assume that if my vision still seems normal?
Yes, that's a very common misconception. Mm. I have got patients who have 6-6 vision, you know, and then suddenly their vision drops into maybe 660 or counting fingers or something, where they only see shadows, and then they get a shock of their lives and they come running. And I tell them, look, how long have you been diabetic? And they'll say, 10 years. Have you ever had your eyes checked? No. So, you know, this is something that happens very often. So awareness that, you know, if you are diabetic, you do need to have regular checkups.
Would you say that is a problem on a national level, that the eye complications are being picked up later than they should be?
Yeah, certainly 10 years ago it was, you know. I mean, many years ago, a lot of people were not aware. There was not much education on this. But I must say that it is improving now. And the government has done a lot to improve the situation, because often these diabetics present themselves at the outpatient government clinics, you know, the clinic kesehatan, or they see their GPs, or they go to the optometrist to check their eyes because they think their vision is going down. So if our optometrists and our medical officers and our general practitioners are trained to inculcate in them the habit of getting their eyes checked as soon as they are diagnosed, it would certainly help a lot.
Mm. So let's talk about what can be done if these diabetic eye complications are diagnosed. Would you like to address it, or would it make a difference to address it whether it's diagnosed early, before things like symptoms or severe stages of the disease have developed, and then moving on to when it is diagnosed later?
Well, if you catch these things early, and you know they're in the early stages where they have no diabetic retinopathy or mild diabetic retinopathy, non-proliferative, that is, you know, before the new blood vessels grow, or they have moderate, then, you know, you tailor them to a specific period of follow-ups. If they have no diabetic retinopathy, I would suggest an annual checkup, because according to all the guidelines out there, mm-hmm. if you have no diabetic retinopathy, you should get a checkup every 12 to 24 months. But knowing our population, if you say, you know, come back in 2 years, they tend to forget. If you make it an annual thing, then they don't. And you have a better chance of catching it early. Mm-hmm. So there are clinical practice guidelines that have been issued by the Ministry of Health in collaboration with the Malaysian Society of Ophthalmology and Academy of Medicine, which is based on all the latest guideline practices in the world and papers. And they do have a specific guideline for doctors to, or people who treat diabetes, to refer for further treatment. Mm. Now, they do come in at a later stage, However, then you need to jump in and start treating them immediately to prevent further vision loss. I often tell my patients when they come in a pretty bad state, you know, when they've already developed proliferative diabetic retinopathy or very bad diabetic maculopathy, that the chances of you preserving vision is good if you come in and get treated. And any vision we save will be considered a bonus. Because, you know, when you come in late, you cannot promise them that they will get back the vision that they had before they had all these complications. So you try to give them hope in the sense that, you know, you do tell them, yes, your vision will improve. How much? I don't know. But if we don't do anything, you're certainly going to go blind. So then, you know, they are motivated. They want to preserve their vision. And then we do have to treat them aggressively to bring back whatever is lost. Now, they only have cataracts and not much of retinopathy, then of course it's not a problem. You can promise them better vision. But then they have to be on follow-up after that to ensure that they do not develop the other complications. And it's the same with glaucoma. If there's already some amount of glaucomatous damage, you cannot reverse that because, you know, the nerve has been permanently damaged. But you can prevent further vision loss and preserve whatever vision they have. As for patients who come in with ocular motility problems, you know, where they have double vision when one of the eye muscles do not function well, then they get crossing of the vision and they can't drive, they can't do their day-to-day activities. But those patients, thankfully, do recover. Most of them recover without any further sequelae, but it gives them a sufficient wake-up call to come for regular checkups to make sure other pathologies do not develop. Okay? So that's how I suppose we have to approach it. And I always tell my diabetic patients when they come in for their first checkup that you're going to be my friend lifelong. You know, you've got to come in and see me as much as I would like you to come in because we have to treat you as on a patient-to-patient basis depending on the state of their eyes.
It's very much individualized, isn't it?
Yes. And it is a lifelong commitment to checkups and follow-ups to ensure no further damage occurs.
When you say that they come in at a stage where you need to provide aggressive treatment, what are we talking about there?
Well, it depends on the stage at which they come in. If, like I said, if they are mild or moderate, we observe them at 6 monthly intervals or 1 yearly interval, depending on which stage they are. I don't think I want to go into the actual regimen, but as the ophthalmologist will be able to tell you when to come in. But if they do go into the severe non-proliferative stage and if they have some amount of maculopathy, then we will need to start treatment straight away. So, and of course, the proliferative, if they have gone into the advanced diabetic eye disease stage where they have bled and the retina is not in a good state, then they will need surgery to try to get back the morphology of the retina to as normal as possible. A treatment often involves lasers and intravitreal injections, where we inject medication directly into the vitreous cavity of the eye. And these are often the mainstay of treatment.
Throughout it all, I would imagine control of blood glucose and blood pressure is paramount, right? You cannot let go of that.
Yeah. Very important dialogue. Another factor that I have to talk to my patients is, no matter what treatment I give you, it's not going to get better unless you get your other systemic parameters under control. So often it has to be a multidisciplinary approach. And we have to liaise with their diabetic doctors or their nephrologists or their cardiologists or whoever else they are seeing to ensure that they have maximized their systemic factors to get things under control. The other thing that I would like to stress is, a lot of diabetics come and tell me, doctor, I've got everything under control. Why is my disease still progressing? And I tell them, yes, you've got it controlled now. And you're going to be a lot better in 2 years down the road. But whatever you're experiencing now is because of the last 2 years that you did not control your sugars. So don't give up hope, you know. It does tend to progress until you reach a stage where you can maintain a plateau and you don't have further progression. Because a lot of them give up. They think, oh, I'm doing everything possible, but they expect quick results, which often is not what you're going to get.
And that's the problem, isn't it? Diabetes itself as a disease is so insidious and silent. And the way it affects the other organs in the body, similarly, take place over that time when you weren't aware at all.
Exactly. So you have to ask them to hang in there and motivate them and tell them, look, it will get better at some point, but you have to give it time. And you have to continue the control. Nothing good comes quick.
In the meantime, what kind of support is there possible? I mean, things like low vision rehabilitation or assistive devices, would those help them in terms of their daily living?
Yes, if their vision is dropped to such a level that they, cannot do their work, or they are no longer employed, or they have low vision, or they need to use some devices. Yes, there are definitely low vision rehabilitation optometrists and doctors who can actually, look at them and assist them with devices. They can be given spectacles. They can be given magnifying aids. They can even be given computers which magnify the print so that they can continue to work and be productive. There are definitely a lot of aids out there that can help. And the Malaysian Association of the Blind does provide the service.
We'll go for another quick break and wrap up our conversation when we come back with Dr. V. Gayatri Devi, ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, as well as a medical retina subspecialist. We're discussing diabetic eye diseases. And when we come back, we'll focus the rest of our discussion on how and when to go for screening, for eye screening, when you've been diagnosed with diabetes. We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my guest, Dr. V. Gayatri Devi, ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, as well as a medical retina subspecialist. We are discussing identifying diabetic eye diseases early, if possible, and that will really come down to going for your regular eye screening the moment you are diagnosed with diabetes, so that you can preserve as much of your vision as possible and deal with any of the eye complications that do develop. What would you recommend as the ideal method of screening for eye complications for diabetics, Dr. Gayatri?
As I said earlier, ideally, it has to be instituted at the primary caregivers. That is the general practitioners who are treating them, or the clinic kasiyatan medical officers in the outpatient clinics. And optometrists also play an important role because, if any of the doctors miss it, if they do go for a change of glasses and the optometrist is able to counsel them or, try to find out if there's any issue going on and they do the appropriate referral, then you can catch the disease early. And I think the Ministry of Health has a clinical practice guideline for screening of diabetic retinopathy, like I mentioned earlier. And it can be done at any clinic kasihatan, and they have instituted it across the country in most of the large towns, whereby there are health personnel who have been trained in carrying out these screening procedures and doing the appropriate referrals to the specialists. So basically, most of our clinics do have that. But having said that, there are a lot of patients who also seek private health care with general practitioners. And so it is the duty of the general practitioners to ensure that they are sent for eye checkups.
How exactly are these checkups done? What does the test look like?
Okay. In order for us to diagnose eye diseases and retinopathy, ideally, you need to have a dilated fundus examination or retinal examination, whereby we instill drops into your eye and open up the pupil so that we can have a broad look at the entire retina and diagnose it. But in our country, optometrists are not allowed to dilate the eyes, unlike their counterparts overseas. So you find in Europe and in Australia, the optometrists often are allowed to dilate because they are trained to do so. And they are the ones who are the primary referral centers who refer to the ophthalmologist for further management. So if they are in the mild stages or the moderate stages of the disease, they are still able to to look at them and monitor them and then appropriately refer them. Because, you know, if everybody has to be screened by a specialist, we are not going to get very far. And the same goes for the medical officers in the clinic kesehatan. What we do have some tools now where we can actually use a non-midriatic fundus photography camera where we do not have to dilate the eyes to be able to look at the retina. So if you don't have cataract that is blocking the view and you can get a good picture, these pictures are taken at the primary healthcare centers and sent to the grading center where the healthcare personnel are trained to read it and, you know, refer appropriately. So if they are in the stages where they need to be monitored closely or treated, then they are referred on to the specialist eye clinics. And this is helpful.
Yeah.
We can also, if you do not have the non-midriatic fundus photography camera, then you can also use an instrument called an ophthalmoscope, whereby you can peek into the eye. Ideally, that's not perfect, but at least you can see in the posterior pole or the center of the eye to see if there's any pathology going on. But if you're unsure, then they are, of course, encouraged to refer them to the eye doctors for a full dilated fundus examination.
Are these tests invasive at all? Anything to be alarmed about?
No, it's just like taking a photograph with the fundus camera. Or if you put drops, it's just to dilate your pupils. It may sting a little when you use it, but that's about it. It's not going to cause any permanent damage. But of course, you must bear in mind that any medication instilled may have side effects or complications. That is why it has to be done by certified personnel.
I know it is difficult for you to comment on costs, especially details of costs, but I guess listeners would want to know how affordable is screening, because that's going to be a deciding factor that, you know, motivates or encourages people to go for it every year.
Well, screening is essentially almost costs nothing in the government facilities. Mm. You know, anyone can walk in and get themselves screened. Mm. And private healthcare may be a little bit more costly, but it is not prohibitive. You know, it is quite affordable, because all you're doing, it is nothing more than having an actual consultation with a specialist and having a look at what's going on. So, and instilling drops does not cost much. Mm-hmm. So I think it is something that, you know, when you view the risk of going blind and the benefit of spending a few dollars to get your eyes checked, I think most working people would do that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Especially what you mentioned just now, this blindness, the vision loss affects people in their working age.
Yes. Yes. You have to think of the long-term complications that may arise if you don't do what you need to do in the early stages.
Mm. And so you're talking about annual eye screening when you've been diagnosed with diabetes, is that right?
Yes, that is for the type 2 diabetics, because usually they're in the old age group and they do not know how long they've had diabetes. So it's always good to get an initial screen. If you're a type 1 diabetic and you've been diagnosed very young, then it should be within 5 years of diagnosis, because you're not going to develop retinopathy so quickly as a child.
Mm. You know, considering diabetes often goes undiagnosed in our population as well, are there recommendations for eye screening for the general population? Adults?
Well, that's if you do not have any comorbidities, the general consensus is to get your eyes checked when you're around the age of 40, because that's when you could potentially develop problems and, you know, have an annual checkup thereof. So what more for diabetics?
Mm.
On that note, I'd just like to add one more point, which I may have overlooked to mention. Very important that women who are diabetic, who plan to get pregnant, need to have their eyes checked before they do it, so that before they get pregnant, I mean, so that, you know, we can catch things early, as it can develop over the time of their pregnancy and they could end up with complications.
Wow, even within that short period,
yes,
of pregnancy.
Well, if they've already had some sort of diabetic retinopathy to start with and they decide to get pregnant, mm, things can accelerate.
Ah, I see.
So it is important, I think, for them to ensure optimal eye health before they decide to get pregnant.
All right. Very, very important message there. As we wrap up, to drive home again that importance of regular screening, how much could we prevent blindness? I mean, we talked about diabetic retinopathy being the leading cause of blindness in Malaysia. How much could we prevent blindness in our population if we got every person with diabetes to undergo their eye screening very, very meticulously and regularly?
I would think that almost all the population will benefit because they are definitely not going to lose vision in the long term. You know, they're going to be able to hold on to their vision for as long as possible. But having said that, there are always exceptions to the rule. You know, even if some patients are diagnosed and they're treated, they can still progress to blindness because that is the relentless nature of the disease. But perhaps what we're trying to do here is, prevent the progression that will be enable them to hold on to their vision for as long as possible. So I would say majority of them would still have good vision, for the duration of their lives if they did start screening and treatment early enough. So that is the important thing that we have to focus on.
And I think that is a message of hope as well.
We have advanced, in strides in the treatment of diabetic retinopathy. 20 years ago, we only had very few tools to treat. We only had laser and it had its limitations. Now with the advent, of all these new drugs that have come into the market, we have actually been able to prevent blindness in a large population in the world. So I think it is very important that, the earlier you screen and the earlier you start treatment, the better it is the hope of you preserving your vision for the length of for the duration of your life.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Dr. V. Gayatri Devi, ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, as well as a medical retina subspecialist, about prevention and treatment of diabetic eye diseases, especially diabetic retinopathy. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.